It's Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. Welcome to Raging Chicken Special Edition Out to Coop Podcast. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Each week, I talk to our Capitol muckraker in chief, Sean Kitchen, about the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. We're doing a little different this week, folks. I got to go out of town for the weekend, going to Chi-Town. So Sean and I decided to do this on Wednesday, and it's kind of a good day to do it. Yesterday was the PA primaries, and holy moly, when we come back to you next week, we will have we'll do a more full recap on some of the other news. I mean, the crazy stuff that's going on in Israel and Palestine, more chaos in the Trump world. But today's focus is going to be really solely on the PA primaries, this really historic PA primaries. And we'll get to that in just a momento. I want to remind everybody to tune into the Rick Smith Show on Free Speech TV this and every Saturday at 7 p.m. You can stream the show live at freespeech.org. You can also tune in on the Dish Network, DirecTV, or through the Free Speech TV app on Roku. If you miss the show, go to ricksmithshow.com and click on the Free Speech TV icon in the sidebar, or just go to freespeech.org and check the archives out. Once again, today feels like the kind of day that you want to say thank you to everyone who has supported Raging Chicken Press over the years. We got some donations last week. We had some new members last week. It was fantastic because I'm looking forward to, after this primary, we're going to be able to kind of dig in, and we've got some major stories to cover as we move into 2018. So if you like what you hear, you want to support Polo Prunch's Progressive Media, if you want to make sure that Sean Kitchen is going to be in the Capitol getting access to DSA people, well, you can become a member of Raising Chicken Press. For as little as $5 a month, just go to patreon.com/rcpress and choose your membership level. Not ready to become a member? No problem. You can make a one-time donation by going to RagingChickenPress.org. Click on the Support and Membership tab, click Donate, and you're good to go. But really, the what keeps us going are members. Members like you. So become a member, patreon.com/rcpress, little as $5 a month, folks. Holy moly, Sean. What a night. What a night.
Yeah. Something happened yesterday. I woke up this morning feeling great. I don't know about you.
I did too as well. But, you know, and I'll tell you, it was a little bit weird. I mean, I don't know if you want to call it historic or what.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says. Yeah. Well, my thing was, like, you know, I woke up this morning and, you know, I was like, man, I was groggy. Got to get my kids off. My folks are coming in because we're going away. And so I just, you know, turned on the radio. So, you know, just kind of just listened to the radio. And it was weird. You know what was playing?
What?
This. And I just had to dance around my kitchen.
Solidarity forever.
The winds were blowing from the west. They carried through to Harrisburg. There it was, man.
And you know what the funny thing was?
Tell me.
This morning, the first thing I listened to when I got on the computer, I went on YouTube and just put on some Pete Seeger, Solidarity Forever.
There you go.
I was just like, all right, that's like morning.
Holy moly, where it is. So where do we start, Sean? Where do we start?
I guess John Fetterman.
Yeah, why not? We'll stop at the top and move down. Oh, we should say that we had now we know that Scott Wagner is going to be the Republican nominee.
Make sure you catch Wolf's first campaign ad.
Yeah, basically it's a campaign ad. Sean sent it over to me this morning. It's called The Worst of Harrisburg, and holy moly. If you had any questions about whether or not the Wolf campaign was going to be showing some mojo, holy moly, that was a fantastic lead campaign ad. So we got Wagner over there going against Wolf. But John Fetterman, man, holy moly. John Fetterman coming up with a big, big win.
Yes. You know, we were talking about this. Something, you know, like, will it happen?
Yep.
Like, I mean, will he actually do it? And He did. And I guess like the overarching theme of tonight, last night was like progressive politics can win in Pennsylvania, and progressive Democratic politics just took a hard swing to the left.
Yeah, I'll say. And I'll say,
I mean, I think we should just get that out of the way right now.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania Democratic Party just took a hard swing to the left.
We're going to pin that to the top of the page, folks.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Fetterman wins, pretty much won every county west of Dauphin County. There wasn't anyone, like, anyone else close to winning out in western Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Nina Ahmad has had a really great showing. And no, Fetterman was able to, you know, scrape away votes in Philadelphia and southeastern PA, and which where Stack's only base was at. And I don't think you should be surprised by this, because Fetterman had a really great showing in western Pennsylvania in the Senate primary a couple years ago.
Yep.
And I mean, he did it again.
Well, I remember, you know, when he was running the Senate, I remember interviewing him back then. And you know, one of the questions I had for him is, you know, okay, what, you know, what's next, right? Kind of what's after this? And this is, you know, this was earlier on in the process. And, you know, basically he said, look, no matter what happens in this campaign, right, we're going to keep going, because it's about, you know, it's about economic revitalization. It's about like unabashed progressive politics. It's about basically all these, cities and towns across the state of Pennsylvania who have been just completely left behind and ignored, right, and just abandoned. He said they feel like they have no voice, right? And then, you know, he used what he did in Braddock, right, as basically that launching point in that story. About how you actually kind of like, you know, get your hands dirty and, you know, as his slogan was back then, build it back up.
Yeah. And I mean, he beat Stack by close to like 100,000 votes.
Well, Stack came in fourth. I mean, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Stack came in fourth. Right. You know, because I look at this. I was trying to pull up. I think I took a picture of the image. Oh, maybe it's not going to show up. It's not going to show up. If I find it, I'll post it. I took a screenshot of it. Yeah, here it is. So in this, so Stack came in fourth, right, behind Ahmad and Cazone, right? That blew my mind. That was what, he came in, Stack had 16.6% of the vote, compared with Kathy Cazone was 18.6, Nina Ahmad at 23.7, and Fetterman 37.5. I think there's like two stories there. Number one, boom. Yes, progressive politics, unabashed progressive politics are back in Pennsylvania, right? We took a hard swing to the left here, and a left that is about kind of ground up people power, right? Not kind of like, you know, just ideological. Yeah, not all that kind of crap, yeah. Right? But also I guess there's three stories. The second one, the fact that you've got Nina Ahmad, so it's a huge, great showing. Right. And she came out and she actually kind of like toppled over kind of like above and beyond kind of what Stack could do. Right. Exactly. And, you know, she had a good message. She had actually a pretty strong campaign for kind of coming out of nowhere. But also it speaks volumes to what's happening to machine politics in the state of Pennsylvania. That whole idea that, you know, you need the kind of conservative Democrats, you need, you know, these machine politics to get stuff done. That just got blown out of the water.
Well, you want to know how to conservative Democrats?
Do tell.
It'll cost you a job.
Yeah.
It was a great joke from the Pittsburgh DSA last night.
Yeah, that was great. Exactly. It'll cost you your job. Very good. I have to say, I was thrilled to see Fetterman. I don't know if you saw his talk last night at all.
I watched a little bit of it, but I did not watch his full speech.
Well, you know, I think he's like, you know, he's hit exactly the right tone of right across the board. I mean, he came in, he's basically, look, it's not about, you know, kind of gloating or all this other kind of stuff. The first thing he was saying all over Twitter last night was basically like, I can't tell you how touched I am by all the people who came out. How heartened I am about this campaign. And that was kind of his whole thing. You know, it's about getting down to business and getting things done and from a kind of unabashed progressive position. So it wasn't just about like, woo, yeah, we won. It was about saying, okay, let's talk about what needs to be done.
And one of the things that I really think is going to be interesting is we're going to have a economic progressive, economic populist barnstorming the state for the next four months.
Yeah.
Just over the next 4 or 5 months, just barnstorming the state. And, you know, he's going to bring people out to vote.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be. And you know what?
I mean, that's the best thing for Wolf right there. I mean, not only he's going to bring people out to vote, he will probably bring people who will run up the vote.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And if Democrats run up the vote, this is probably the worst possible thing for Republicans.
Well, yeah, because look, Fetterman has got, look, his, everything he's done in Braddock, everything about his persona, everything like this, he's the kind of guy, right, he's going to be showing up to these towns, right, that the Democratic Party has basically abandoned, right, we've been talking about this on the show forever, but has abandoned for decades. And he's going to be showing up into these towns. And you know what? You know,
that's going to be the first time they've ever seen a politician in these towns for years, probably.
Well, a politician who's not a right-wing nut job.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'd like to see him go and, like see Daryl Metcalf try to intimidate John Cranberry. Right? You know, like, or Brad Rowe sit to go and, like, play the tough guy act with Fetterman. And Fetterman just go, like, I'm squishing your head. Okay, little man. Crazy. But, okay, so we got Fetterman right at the top of the ticket. I still have to say the biggest stories of the night have to do with four DSA candidates making it to the general election. I mean, that's got to be the biggest.
Yes, and three of them going to make it to Harrisburg, regardless of November, because of how heavily because their seats are safe Democratic seats with no Republican opposition.
Yeah, exactly. So you're getting Sarah Inamorato, Summer Lee, and Elizabeth Fiedler are all on their way, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about with Kristen Seals. What do you know about her? About her race? She's going against Chris Quinn, right?
Yes, it's going to be in Delaware County, sort of like the media area of Delaware County. I have not really followed much to the campaign about this, but again, a DSA endorsed candidate went out, won in southeastern Pennsylvania, in the suburbs of Philadelphia.
Yeah,
not in Philadelphia, in the suburbs of Philadelphia, like outer suburbs. You know, when you start to get like out towards like more richer areas of Delaware County and all, and it's it's amazing. We're seeing the same thing play out here in Pennsylvania that happened in Virginia last year.
Yep,
where these suburbs are swinging hard to the left.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
And if I'm a Democrat, if I'm a Republican right now, Democrats, you know, just another side story. Democrats just flipped a seat last night that's been held by Republicans for 35 years in a special election.
There you go.
In the Philadelphia suburbs, out towards Northampton and Richboro, that part of the Bucks County and Montgomery County line.
That's awesome. This is Helen Ty, right? Is that the last name?
Yes. Yes. But no, like with the DSA candidates, biggest story.
Holy moly.
It shows you what happens when you put a good campaign together. You put a good campaign together against people who haven't been challenged in their whole entire political careers.
And you stand for something, maybe?
And you stand for something. And not just stand for something, stand firm on, free public higher education for all Pennsylvania. Healthcare for all. $15 an hour minimum wage. This completely breaks the traditional norms that you have to be pro-life, pro-gun Democrat living in these parts of Pennsylvania in order to get elected.
Right. Exactly. Exactly what we talked about last week when I was all pissed off on my union, right, for going on and endorsing the Costas. Well, guess what? it was exactly that. That was exactly the same kind of logic. Well, you're going to need these kind of characters out there, and they've done this,
No, you're not, because these seats are safe Democratic seats. The Republicans are not going to run in opposition again, regardless how far to the left the candidates are. And you know what? People, Fetterman's not a he didn't happen by accident. These elections out in Western Pennsylvania with Summer Lee and Sarah Inamorato just didn't happen by accident. I mean, people are fucking organizing.
No, that's exactly it. I mean, look, we saw Pappas? What was that his name?
Pappas,
right? Who kind of took over the sheet? And this is the kind of thing
that's DSA, been- the Pittsburgh DSA just took out three Costa family members within the year.
Exactly. And they did it by, and here's the, you know, the key thing is they did it by not pretending to be something that they're not, they're actually standing for something firm by staking out, like, this is, you know, the Jeremy Corbyn thing, right? You know, if you actually stand for something and you're actually offering an alternative, a clear alternative that people actually want,
people like,
right, they're not going to care. And, like, you know, the fact is, what the big thing was interesting for me too as well is that the whole kind of, like, you know, you see, like, only faint whispers of Cold War kind of like rhetoric kind of came through on this one, like the kind of thing about being an out and out socialist, right, saying that, you know, like, I'm a Democratic, proud member of a Democratic socialist, right? You know, even the newspapers and the Republicans and the Democrats, they all thought this was going to sink these folks, right? But the fact is that people really don't care so much anymore.
Oh,
they
you
care.
Support Bernie Sanders? You support Bernie's platform? I mean, he's the most popular fucking politician in the country right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. And you're supporting his platform? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, exactly. But I think, you know, this is the other side of what happened in Pittsburgh there too as well, and in Philly, but in particular in Pittsburgh with the Costas and Sarah Inamorato and Summer Lee, is that you think about this, yes, it's a powerful political family, but this is the vestiges of the old white guys. Right. Yeah. The old way of doing stuff, both like Sarah Inamorato and Summer Lee. Summer Lee, the first, as you've been saying, right, the first
African-American woman from Western Pennsylvania, period, to ever be elected to the Pennsylvania State House.
Exactly. Right.
I mean, the first African-American woman west of, like, Harrisburg.
Exactly. And so this represents a sea change.
Yeah. And it's not like we're not eating our own, you know, like. You know, we are improving upon our own.
Yeah,
we are taking out people who have ran their course, and we're replacing them. And, you know, people are like, oh, just Democrats eating their own last night. Is getting the first black woman west of Harrisburg ever elected to state office eating your own?
Right.
That's
it shows you
glass ceiling
again. Well, it shows you, like, the fact that, like. You look at the districts that they won in, right? They haven't looked; those districts have not looked like the Costas in a long time, right?
No, they haven't.
And this has been part of the problem of the Democratic Party, and frankly, it's one of the problems that Labor has been slow to kind of get a move on, right? It's been a slow to kind of say, hey, look, you know. We need to kind of be kind of thinking about kind of where that leading edge of kind of labor and politics are. We need to get on the leading edge of kind of saying, look, you know, things like
the biggest surge of union members now are coming from young female millennials.
Exactly. And more so kind of minority women than anything else. Right. I mean, especially with an SEIU and the service sectors and things like, I mean, this is kind of, you know, no duh. Right. And the fact is that now I think what hurt the Costas a lot are kind of like they're wavering on abortion rights. Right. The fact that was kind of like hurt them huge. Well, you know, I don't know what to say. You're going to kind of vote for a 20-week abortion ban. You know what? Maybe we don't need you around anymore, especially since we got a woman over here who's going to come out and say, like, nope, I'm going to make sure that this right is defended. And we're going to work for free healthcare, and we're going to work for free college tuition, and we're going to kind of make sure that our communities are revitalized from the ground up, and we're going to find alternative energy policies. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, I'm still in shock over it.
Yeah.
But I think, like, bigger picture, it's amazing the national press that has been flooding into these two races, especially with Summer Lee over the past couple of days.
Yeah.
The New Yorker ran, like, a 2,000-word profile pretty much on her race, which was absolutely phenomenal.
It is.
The Mother Jones picked up on this race, these two races, a couple days ago. On Monday, they published a profile. You know, I was hearing whispers that the Costas were pretty much preparing to lose going into Tuesday's election, you know, in Harrisburg.
Sean's part of the Whisper Network.
Yes. I am part of – yeah, should I get it? – it's legit.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
And then, I mean, like – and now, like, the Daily Beast and other national left publications are like, holy shit. DSA just kicked ass in Pennsylvania.
Yep. There you go.
And it's going to be fun seeing how the DSA advances and also where this brings the future of the Democratic Party in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things we talked about on Friday on our last show is this is a perfect example. So for the longest time, the Democratic Party has done everything in its power to basically make sure that there were, Democrat and Republican Party, make sure that, those two parties dominated everything and kept third party candidates out. And so if you want to play, you got to come into our party. Well, okay, here you go. And we're going to play by your rules, and they come in. And what was interesting, I saw several tweets last night and again this morning where it basically said, there were people kind of tweeting stuff out saying, okay, we're still waiting for, I know that there's those guys out there that are still saying that, you're not going to play with the Democratic Party, you're not going to be part of the system and all that. Well, maybe take a look at this, and maybe because now is a good time to come on into the Democratic Party because we're actually kind of expanding out what this party can mean.
Yeah. The Hill just published a story. Four socialist back candidates with Pennsylvania win Pennsylvania legislative primaries.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And
being the center of attention.
Yeah. Well, I think that, positive. Well, and this should be, we've talked about this on the show before about some of the things that DSA has been doing. One of the things that has marked out, and from my perspective, as someone who's been around socialist politics for a long time, right, because I'm old now, is that most of my experience with socialist politics the majority of my life, there was much more about ideological arguments, right? About people making ideological arguments about, this is what capitalism, how we understand this. And all that stuff is super, super important. I get it, right? But what the DSA has been doing, especially, given the Bernie Sanders campaign and kind of the heels of that, and they've been organizing locally around real issues, right?
Yes, and community engagement and community involvement.
Exactly. And so instead of it being about kind of like, we're just going to have these arguments over socialism and socialism and capitalism, right? What we're going to do is that we're going to put those values to work. Right. And we're going to do that by establishing community, kind of arguing for the kind of things that we're supporting. Right. So, single payer health care, all this kind of stuff. And that's been so incredibly impressive. So as much as that, you even see these sniping from the press at times, but they want to kind of like try to do the red bait stuff. The people on the ground in these districts aren't being sitting around listening to kind of long lectures about socialism, right? And why it is kind of like how it kind of we understand use value and exchange value and capitalism. No, they're talking about like what are the things that we want, right? And then how do we get it? Well, we do it by organizing and collectively. Right. And again, I hate to draw it back too far. But if when we get into look for the beginning of this kind of wave. Right. If you look at like the Occupy movement. Right. That really gave us the language of like the 1% and the 99%. Right. For everybody who talks about how Occupy failed, and there was a lot of failings. There's no doubt about it. Right. But one of the things you can never, ever forget is about how Occupy helped change the discourse that allowed us to get where we are today.
I was thinking about that same exact thing this morning. How much Occupy, had the few months it was around, and just as a mass protest. How much that has changed it's changed discourse, and this is an exact result of it. Like without Occupy or Wisconsin, I don't think Bernie Sanders runs for president in 2016. I don't think Elizabeth Warren does what she's doing. I don't think that, and I don't think the DSA is at where it's at.
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't say the DSA is not bringing mainstream socialist ideas back into the Democratic Party. They are bringing ideas that were around in the 1920s and 1930s within the New Deal.
Exactly. And that's the crazy thing, right? Is like, I mean, you've said this 1,000 times over, right?
I'm a New Deal Democrat.
Right. And if you want to, if that makes me a Democratic Socialist, sure, whatever, man.
Offering that platform.
Yeah. And it's basically, and again, it's like, and I would even say it's like this is where DSA has really been successful, right? And you got to give other socialist groups kind of some kudos here too as well. I mean, Social Alternative has done kind of amazing stuff down in Philadelphia. You've got, You know, I mean, there's been a kind of a whole rebirth around this, and very similar kinds of dynamic. DSA just happens to have has been where people have consolidated around. What's that?
Where the people flock to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in part because Bernie Sanders gave us that language, right? I'm a democratic socialist, so then here you go. But I don't know. I'm just going to say yeah. I'm just going to shut up.
I know. Also, I was going to say something else.
We just everybody, we're going to pause for a minute. We just both had a little brain fart, so. We're just going to treat you to a little bit of this.
But no, what I also was going to say
is
that, these are also bringing millennial issues to the forefront.
Yes.
And I had a conversation with someone at the bar the other night, a neighbor of mine, and he said the kids are taking over. He's like that old – the way the old white guard is – exactly what you were saying earlier. He's like kids – like most of the kids these days don't don't accept misogyny in the workplace, wouldn't do half the shit these old white people power would do. And I feel like there's definitely a generational divide there. And he's like, but also it's like the young kids are also like how many of them travel to Europe and stuff like that, and have been traveling to places their whole or going to places or have had the opportunity to go to places that have these policies implemented.
Right.
And they're like, wow, the country is not falling apart. Like, the fucking fear mongers say it would.
Well, and I think, but again,
they realize that it's like there's so much more out there and there's more opportunity.
Right. But it also has a lot to do with experience, too, right? I mean, it has to do with you see the fact that you've got concrete examples where college tuition is paid for and you've got free access to health care and the roads are paved and people aren't
solar panels on 80% of the roofs.
Exactly. You're seeing the concrete examples. At the same time, you're talking about historic levels of college debt, right? You're seeing it about where you have an economy that works, is basically, the race for the bottom is what we brought home here in the U.S. is that you have a concentration of wealth that we've never seen before, right? So people are living through this too as well. I mean, it's not just like they're seeing examples. Oh, I think I'd like that too. No, it's like those things shows you concrete examples that can be done at the same time that we're, this has been a 30-year assault, right? On labor rights, on environmental rights, right? And I think that you finally have got, a generation that has kind of been through that long enough and now has a voice. And thank God that they're stepping up and kind of taking over. Because I do think that's what it's going to take. I do think it's going to take Rachel Maddow last night was basically talking about right at the end of her show says, look at the Pennsylvania contingent says something interesting is happening here. I said, I want you to show you the picture of the Pennsylvania delegation, which you've talked about this, over and over and talk about the executive branch, all white. Well, one African-American, I think, but almost every single one of them is male, right? All of them are older, vast majority of them white. Right. At the very least, that's got to end. Right. And we just took some really.
I know. Moving on, some of the congressional primary races.
Yeah.
The Madeline Dean.
Whoops.
Wins. Outright.
Outright.
You have Mary Gay Scanlon, who surprised people and won. She's a Ballard Spahr lawyer. She's involved with some of the alternative schools in Philadelphia that have public-private partnerships. And Ballard Spahr is also known as for union-busting practices and cozying up the Comcast. And she beat Richard Glaser, who is the Johnny Dock candidate, and who's also supported by Bernie Sanders. And progressives were really pissed at Bernie for backing Glaser when there was many more female candidates in that race.
Yeah, that's the race Molly Sheehan was in too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was the Pennsylvania 5th. Greg Edwards did not win last night.
Yeah, that was definitely had to talk about this because that was my one of my biggest disappointments of last night.
But I think also Manny Guzman, friend of ours, he did not win last night against Cal Tejeron. And maybe it's just that it's still changing. It's not there yet, the Lehigh Valley.
Well, I think that's really the takeaway. And like, yeah, I know, look, I mean, Manny's gonna keep his nose to the grindstone and kind of continue to work and run.
Votes. I know plenty of state reps who lost their first primary by like that much or a few hundred votes and won the next one handedly.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, look, I mean, things are not going to get any better for Calcedron. I can never say his name.
Calcedron.
Yeah. The fact that people voted for a guy who's got like sexual harassment and battery, you know, that kind of stuff is just that blows my mind. But whatever, yeah. You know, and I think that, you know, I was thinking a lot about the well, first of all, we should say the positive end of what happened in the PA 7th. Right. Yes. Greg Edwards didn't take it, which is, you know, I was really pulling for Greg Edwards. But Susan Wilde did get elected and Morganelli did not.
Right? Yes.
I mean, there was a moment last night, which I was like, oh my God, like some of the early returns came out in strong Morganelli, areas. And so there was like this, you know, I always saw it first was the graph with Morganelli with, you know, like 63%. I was like, oh my God, you can't tell me that this is going on. So that didn't happen. That's good.
Yes.
Right. And we're talking about sending another woman. Right. You know, I'm good. She's got to go through general. But, you know, putting another woman forward, which is fantastic. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about like, well, what happened with the Edwards campaign? It's like, well, if you looked at some of the voter turnout in the area, like, you know, in like Lehigh County had had really low turnout, right? Where Northampton County had higher turnout. And so some of the kind of like, you know, the urban areas in Allentown and Bethlehem, you know, I think we're in the middle of that sea change of being able to kind of construct a political identity, right? Because people just aren't connected in that way, I think is part of what's come out of that. So,
and Susan Wilde does have some issues with herself. She supported the police officers with that police brutality case.
Right.
A cop kicking a Puerto Rican man in the face while he was on the ground a few months back. Came out and supported the police officers involved with that. She's not going to be the best Democrat, but she's better than Morganelli, and she's going to be pushed on the issues. And I don't expect her making waves, but I mean, I feel like she's also a reflection of that area that's changing.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think that you know, I'm just you know, look, I mean, Greg Edwards has been doing organizing for decades.
I wouldn't say she's a good old Democrat by any means.
No. She's kind of more in the kind of the she's more in the kind of centrist traditions, right? I mean, she's kind of more in the kind of Hillary Clinton kind of
middle of the road.
Yeah. But you know, thank God Morganelli didn't get it. That's the good thing.
Yes. Thank God.
Yeah. So cool. So what, I mean, let me ask you this. So, I mean, you also put in here about Helen Tye. What do you know about her and her race?
I do not know anything about Helen Tye. Mm-hmm. She was picked for a special election. That was Scott Pruitt's seat. Pruitt left Philadelphia, run the Philadelphia Parking Authority. And this was a special election that was scheduled on this night. This seat in this district has been held by Republicans for 35 years, and they lost it last night by like a 51-48 margin.
That's pretty amazing, man. Pretty amazing.
And the two candidates, they both won their primaries, and they'll both be facing off against each other again in the November general election. You know, that with what happened with DSA candidates, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area Republicans are about to be put on the extinction list.
Yeah, looks like it. It looks like it. I mean, so if you think about it like this, you know, if you got the I was thinking about last night. It was like there's a different kind of red coming, right? So it's pushing out the Republicans, right? And there you go.
Yeah, I mean, So that happened last night.
Well, we do have to say that we do have to have a sad farewell to someone near and dear to our hearts here at the program.
Yes. Unfortunately, the godly heritage did not carry Rick Saccone to electoral victory out in Western Pennsylvania.
Womp,
this is the second time he's lost an election in less than 2 months. Second time in 2 months that he lost an election. And he'll have to take his waterboarding tail and the free meal he gets from lobbyists somewhere else. Maybe they could freeze dry those steak dinners on Second Street and send Rick Saccone and his wife some free steaks, since he loves to run up the lobbyist tab while he's out to dinner with them.
There you go. See ya, Rick Saccone. See ya. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I still, one of my favorite moments in the history of Rick Saccone. Well, I mean, other than the video that you got of him with the Godly Heritage stuff, which was just like priceless. But was when Ivanka Trump came out to campaign for him. Right. And she's like, you could see him kind of on stage, and she kind of like looks over to him at one point, glances over, and you could like almost read on her face. She's like, really? This guy? This guy? I'm supporting this guy? And he looked up there like a Muppet, you know, he's like, so, man,
and he only spends like 1 minute at the podium and then lets Trump talk for 45.
Yeah. 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 Well, that was probably a safer bet for him than actually talking himself. So that's good. So
I'm going to be upset not seeing him around in the Capitol anymore. Threatening the waterboard people.
Oh, he'll some lobbyists will kind of start throwing him some money. Some far right wing people. He'll be around. Don't worry.
I don't think he's getting a job in Harrisburg.
I don't think he's getting a job in Harrisburg, but some of those give him some money to kind of keep the red meat going. I bet. Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. So on the Republican side of things, like we said, Wagner. So now you got kind of Wagner. Clearly, he's the nominee.
And, you know, one thing about that, it was a really close primary for Wagner.
Yeah.
If we're beating the shit out of each other, he won that by, like, not slim margins, but a little closer than you would expect.
Than you'd expect, yeah.
For someone who's had the party support since he announced in January 2018. Well,
I was surprised out here in Bucks County, and even up in Lehigh, I was surprised to see there were lots of mango signs out, and few Wagner ones, which was interesting. And Mango actually kind of had a billboard campaign going on 476 early, way early. So that was just kind of interesting to see how that was going to shake itself out. But we also get the anti-immigrant dude,
Lou Barletta.
Yep, going up against Casey. Yeah, that'll be fun. Man,
I cannot wait for this. Like, you have two of the most uninspiring, really horrible candidates on the top of your ticket at the Republican side. Barletta and Wagner. Racist, violent, misogynist.
Yep, check all the boxes.
Fantasies about shooting people.
Yep, just go right through and check all the boxes.
Makes racist comments about people working for minimum wage. Like, oh, just check off everything. And it's going to be fun watching Fetterman just barnstorm the state.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, man, huge, huge night. Huge night. Anything else we got to kind of touch base on before?
No, nothing really.
Go out and keep the celebration going.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, everybody, this is a huge, huge night. Last night, again, takeaways are, we see a nice left turn taking place in parts of the Democratic Party, especially out in the West. We've got John Fetterman, who's going to be, leading the message on kind of economic revitalization and going to bring all people in. And, I have to say is that, his wife, too, as well, the work that she does kind of in the community, kind of building community and things like this is going to be also huge, because those two together are a powerhouse team. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. So
and then one last thing I want to tell you.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know. The next governor is going to be from York County.
Oh, my God, Sean. Say it isn't so. Wait, what kind of muckraking journalism got to that? Do tell. Somebody was really working it late last night.
Biggest hot take of the PA primary. The next governor. I mean, just totally disregard everything we just said over the past half hour and go away knowing that the next governor is going to be from York County.
Yep. Headlines, Penn Live, everybody. Penn Live. You gotta love that. You gotta love
that. I'm gonna get so in trouble for that.
Well, whatever. It is the big takeaway, everybody. The big takeaway. Yes, next governor's gonna be Beaver County.
Disregard and forget everything we said over the past half hour. And
yeah, how do we say something that is so vanilla that it makes vanilla look bland? You know, it's like whatever. Oh man. All right. Well, hey, this has been our short take post primary. For a special Out the Coop. Like I said, we will not have a regular show this Friday, but we will be back next week to bring it. And I think, look, I'm excited, to be honest with you, about the seeing what starts happening now in terms of like the coverage of the stories kind of next week. Because right now it's just been, wow, this is huge. And then to see how they start kind of rolling out their campaigns for the general election is going to be really, really awesome.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing how everyone up here in Harrisburg reacts to having three DSA members getting elected and potentially having a fourth up here.
And lots of women going to be joining them there. So we're going to boot out the old white guys, right, and in with the new.
Yeah, all four of these DSA candidates are also all women, obviously. It's... For socialists, it's going to be funny watching how the Democratic establishment and the Democratic leadership is going to be talking about this, because they're going to be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they're going to get the red carpet from Jay Costa. What do you think? Just saying. Sean keeps his mouth shut.
I will say one thing. Is the word socialist in the Costa vernacular yet?
I guess we'll find out.
They're coming for you next, Jay. No, he's a really good senator.
Sean's like, no, he's actually a good senator. good. All right. Well, so we're going to call it here, folks. I hope that you're as thrilled about the results last night as well. Even if we didn't get the Greg Edwards seat last night, and some other folks that walked out. One thing I didn't mention here, we got Scott Wallace down here in Bucks County is going to be going up against Brian Fitzgerald in the fall. That was a three-way race. And it was kind of pretty tight between Wallace and Rachel Reddick. Rachel Reddick came up a little short on that one. I should have brought this up earlier. Sorry. It was a very kind of weird race in some ways, because Reddick and Wallace were going after each other pretty hard in the end there. Wallace came in, you know, he's a kind of millionaire financier guy, kind of guy, came in from D.C., kind of run back for the seat. Reddick was... she was in the Navy and she had been in DC too, but she'd been there because she was in the Navy, you know, and then had come back in. It was a really kind of interesting campaign. And then Steve Bocker, who came in with, who was a former environmental, worked for the EPA for under Obama for a bit. He came in with some really kind of strong progressive credentials, but his campaign didn't kind of catch in some of the ways that the Wallace and Reddick, campaigns caught, but, he did fairly well too as well. But Steve Wallace, again, someone who's been at least mouthing the progressive agenda is going to be headed forward too as well. So we'll see how that works out. All right, man. So, hey, enjoy the rest of the week and, bask in the glory of, our little friend Pete Seeger. What do you say?
I'm not recording myself Friday. I'm not recording the podcast.
There you go. There it is. All right. Well, this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Congratulations to all the winners out there. Special kudos to all the DSA-backed folks. We will be back next week with more a follow-up, and plus we'll get back into more of our kind of regular routine here with the looking at some of the national and state news. But holy moly, what a night. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Thanks for all for tuning in. We remind you, patreon.com/rcpress. Become a member.
See ya!